My name is Isabel Marion Lawrence, Need Tier, and I was born in Douglas on the 2nd of January 1953. My parents were Isabel Tier and Robert Cottier Tier. My mother, Isabel Tier, she was born Carouche, but she then married Josie Farragher, who died after a couple of years' marriage, I believe. And later on, she married my father, Robert.
And so your connection to Catherine Farragher was?
The connection is through my mother. She was Kathleen's sister-in-law, albeit a brief time.
You said your mother was a Carouche.
Yes.
Was that Ballyfail Carouches?
No. Well, originally, I suppose, if you go back far enough, it will do. But no, my mother's Carouches were from Mackled, but lived in Ramsey, and the children all emigrated in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and my grandfather emigrated to Australia, and so my mother was born in Australia.
Whereabouts in Australia?
Eventually my grandfather settled in Kalgoorlie, where he was a miner and mined gold. Had a level in a mine in Kalgoorlie.
Whereabouts
is that? It's in the central west of Australia, in the desert. A terrible place it is. Well, terribly hot. And my mother was a callow. And my grandmother, my mother's mother, was a callow. And she joined, they were married in Ramsey, but she joined her husband in Kalgoorlie. And my mother and her brother were both born in Kalgoorlie. And my mother actually returned to the Isle of Man when both her parents had died in the 1930s. She came back to the Isle of Man to visit her grandmother Carouche, who lived in Waterloo Road. And she stayed with her grandmother for some years, or a couple of years, and then war broke out. And so she actually stayed on the Isle of Man, not returning to Australia.
Through choice or necessity, do you know?
Well, choice originally, but it was impossible then, I think, for her to go back during the war. And I don't think my great-grandmother, she was still alive until the early 1940s, I believe. So she was here till then. Then I'm not really altogether sure, but she must have met Josie Farragher, living not very far away from Approach Road. And they were married in 1945, was it?
The newspaper report from his death in March 46 said that 18 months ago he married Isabel Carouche.
Yes.
And you mentioned your great-grandmother was a callow.
Yes, my grandmother was Isabella Jane Callow. That was my mother's mother. And they were callows from Ramsey and Andreas, I believe. And I just saw that actually Josie Farragher's birth certificate. Where was that? His mother was a callow, I think. I just noticed that.
From the Jallow.
Oh, the Jallow.
Out of Mackled.
Oh, well, I do have connections with the Jallow as well. I should have to look at that. I don't know quite how that fits in, because I've got a picture, I'm sure, of the Jallow. Because I thought that was through my Carouche side that was the connection, as opposed to the Callow. Anyway, I shall have to look that up. It gets more and more intriguing, I think.
So when did she... Was she young when she came back to look after your grandmother? Your mother,
sorry. My mother must have been in her 20s when she came back to the island. I think her father died in about 1937, and it would have been after that that she came back to the island. So she must have been in 1944. When did they get married?
44, I believe.
44. Well, she was born in 1910, so she was 34 then. Or 33, perhaps. If it was March 44, she'd be 33 years.
So she would have had something like a job or career. She must have been doing something, I expect.
You know, I don't know. She looked after her grandmother. I mean, she did work when she was in Kalgoorlie. I know she did... I think she worked in the post office. I think she did, like, accounting in Kalgoorlie. But I don't know what she did here. She'll have to ask my brother. I do sort of have this memory of her looking... or her telling me that she came back to look after her grandmother. And I think in latter years she actually nursed her. I don't think she would have had a job latterly, because her grandmother would be in her 90s when she died.
So to get an idea of who your mother was she involved in the church or the WI or these sorts of things, do you know?
Later years she was, but in those days when she first came over, I'd imagine she would have gone to the Methodist chapel in Ramsey. Only because I can remember going there with her when I was a child. But I don't know what she was involved in those early years, because I suppose anything I've been told is only since she then married my father. And so it would be from the 50s onwards, really, that's my memories of her involvement in Ramsey life.
I believe she was connected to the lifeboat.
Oh, yes, she did lots of... charity work in that respect for the RNLI, and she was also involved with Townswomen Guild and luncheon clubs and things. I think things like that. I'm not altogether sure. Well, I think she used to work with my father, really. I mean, they used to work together.
What do you know of Joseph Farragher?
Very little. I mean, it was always... I always knew that my mother had been married before she married my father. I always knew that because she always must have told me. And I used to go with my mother to put flowers on his grave at Christmas, or a wreath on his grave at Christmas time. And it was just something we always did. But I don't actually know anything about their life together. But I do remember her saying that she had lots of letters from him. I don't know why that would be, because if they lived so from Approach Road to Waterloo Road isn't very far away. But those have long gone. She told me she destroyed those. I think that's probably when she married my father. I don't think it would be correct for her to have kept them somehow, but anyway, they've long gone.
So it was in the open, as it were. It wasn't.
I was always, and I always knew about Josie. We always did, because the connection. Well, my mother. I'm not altogether sure what the will said of Josie, or if there was a will. I'm not even sure whether there was, but obviously my mother had some entitlement to the Approach Road shop, and my father purchased it. And so that's where how I remember the shop. As a young child, he would be working there, and I would be visiting it.
And so that's how your parents met?
Yes.
In the sale of the shop, as it were.
I believe so. I'm not altogether sure.
Did that happen? I'm intrigued now. When your mother sold it and then moved was it? She,
well, no, I think, I mean, as I say, my brother will have more memories than me. Because sometimes they become stories as opposed to memories. I think my mother, after Josie's death, intended to go back to Australia because her grandmother had died and then Josie had died. And although she had a cousin here, Margaret Quileish, and Nan Quileish, there wasn't really anybody else for her here, and I think she intended to go back to Australia, and that's why I think the shop would have been up for sale. Instead of which, she sold the shop and then stayed and then married my father. I'm not sure.
Do you know when they were married?
Yes, they were married in 1947. Because my brother was born in 1948. So it wasn't very long, really.
How intriguing. That must have been very interesting for your mother to have moved back into the shop world.
Yes. And you see, she may well have worked in the shop with Josie. I'm assuming so.
What was the shop?
It was general provisions, but I believe it had the an alcohol license as well, so it was wines and spirits, which seems very odd, but I think there were a lot of grocers' shops in Old Ramsey, and a lot of them sold wines and spirits.
General provisions and grocery, what does that mean?
Well, one memory I have is of the bacon cutter, slicer. I can remember that being there, a great big bacon slicer, and it would be cutting the bacon or the ham on this slicer. It was just everything that you needed, every groceries, fresh vegetables and tins and drinks and soft drinks and I think flour. I just remember it having everything. Didn't shop anywhere else.
So would it have gone to milk and bread?
Yes. Well, I don't know about milk actually, because there was a dairy just on the corner that sold bread, milk and cheese, just along from Approach Road Shop.
I was interested to see that when Josie's father died in 1918, it was described as being a grocery and wine and spirit business, which also traded in corn and manure.
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember the corn. I definitely don't remember the manure.
That's probably a good thing.
I'm just wondering what it had on this. It had some writing on this picture. It's groceries and provisions. Family grocer is what it says.
And we should just, I should ask where it was.
Well, it was on the right as you go into Approach Road from Waterloo Road, and almost opposite Lock House. And then if you continued down, further down past the shop, you'd get to the Swan Hotel, the Old Cross area. Unfortunately, it was another part of Ramsey that was demolished.
And so the house shop is no longer standing?
No. I don't think so.
I don't think it is.
No bit of it, I don't think. I can't even remember what's there now.
It was on... there was a road, I believe it was on a corner.
I don't actually remember that, unless that's where the store area was, and that went round the corner possibly, because there was a store next to the shop. I actually thought it had gates, but that picture doesn't say that really.
We were discussing just before about where Josie and your mother lived. I believe they didn't live in the shop.
Well, I don't believe so, only because the death certificate, was it, of Josie? Or was it their marriage certificate? The death certificate gave Waterloo Road as their address, and or the cutting from the newspaper. And my mother's grandmother lived in Waterloo Road, and my mother inherited her house upon her grandmother's death, I believe. And so that is where Josie and my mother would have lived, I think.
And so did someone live in there, in the house? Or in the...
in the shop.
When you were there?
Well, when my... yes, when my father had the shop, there was a tenant in the rooms above. I can't recall his name, but I know my brother has got his name. They used to live there, but I don't know from when, whether it was they were sitting tenants or not.
Did they come in the back? Or did they come
no, there's the a door? Door on the left, I think, of the shop. There's the main door. So they would have had a separate access.
Okay. And so the shop was just a one floor. There wasn't a basement for supplies.
No, I thought that was kept next next to it. There was a little room out the back, I think.
There's a back garden.
No, the back storage area, I think. You should have asked me these questions before, and then I'd have gone and researched them.
But you were talking about a shed being outside.
Well, and it wasn't a shed. It was just I remember it as a garage, but that doesn't sound right. I mean, I'd call it a garage now. It'd be just like a stone building.
Thing,
yes, quite possibly. But I thought I can imagine. I can remember crates of various things being kept out there. Probably crates of beer or drink or something. But that was alongside, I thought.
And so, what sort of decade are we talking about here?
Well, that would be in the '50s.
And I'm intrigued to know how a grocery business in Ramsey, in the now demolished part of Ramsey, we think, how that would have functioned in those days. Was it a lot of local supplies? Who was coming to the shop? And
well, it was local supply, local people, and also they would do deliveries. But I don't think that was unusual. I think most shops used to do deliveries. But
was that your father in a van driving?
No, I remember somebody on a bicycle. no, I really can't remember now. He might have had a... No, he didn't have a van. No. Because it's most of the shops then... did deliveries. I can remember the Bakers, which is totally irrelevant to this, but Cackerty's, the Bakers, they used to do a round with their bread. They'd bring the bread round on a Saturday morning, I remember, and they'd always have a free little bun for each child that they delivered to, be like at the end of a bit of dough or something. It was baked, and Mr. Cackerty would give each child one of these loaves. But I think every shop delivered in those days.
Was that not your kid's job eventually?
No, I don't remember doing that. Maybe I did, but maybe I don't know.
who came to the shop, who was the clientele? Would it be remembering the days of Mortons or Mocktons?
Yeah, it was Alders and Mockton, I think the shop was called, which then became Mocktons. They were friends and neighbours.
But it wasn't as if the better sort of Ramsay went to this shop and the other half of Ramsay went to this shop. It wasn't.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember it. I don't remember it. So.
And so, well, yeah, sorry, I did not really ask about your father. Was your father was trying to buy the shop after Josie's death? Did he have a background in?
No, he was a banker. But the war. He was in the bank, in the Isle of Man Bank, before the war. He went to war and didn't come back till 1945. And he went back into the bank, I believe, on his return. But was looking to do something else, and I think that's when he purchased the shop. Well, it would have been after 46. He would have been in 46, wouldn't it? That he purchased the shop. But then he had, in the early 1960s, he had a heart attack, and he... And I think which led to them selling the shop. And he went into another business after that.
What was that?
He was an insurance broker and estate agent. Well, it became an estate agent. But that was later on. It was in fact, the name's still in the Market Square, RC Tier and Partners. His insurance. It's been taken over now by another insurance broker. But they kept his name for a while. Well, it was there last year. I don't know whether it still is. But, no, so he went into that business, I think, in the 60s. He took over from another business. It wasn't... He didn't just set it up. I think it, I've forgotten the name. It's either Call It or... something.
And so the shop was then sold on to?
I've forgotten his name. Bourne is can't remember his first name. Bourne was his surname. And he operated the shop for quite some time after that.
When did that area of Ramsay come down?
Well, I don't know now. I was just trying to think, because that was in the 60s. Bourne had his... had the shop, and I don't know whether he was the last owner of it. Because you probably haven't got any record of him, have you?
No.
Because people who worked in the shop then, I mean, it would just be the same, I'm sure, as it was in my father's day. Really, you would get more information from those people. Think.
And so it was all that area of Ramsay was pulled down because it was, I'm told, beyond repair and run down.
Well, that's what I think it was said, yes. But
which makes it sound like an East End London slum.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there were a lot of properties which were in need of repair, but no, it just all went.
So it didn't feel... like a slum when you were there?
Well, no, definitely not. Well, but then I didn't live there.
You lived on Waterloo Road?
No, I lived in Bowring Road. My parents lived in Waterloo Road initially, and then they moved to Bowring Road. And my brother was living in Waterloo Road, but I... By the time I was born, they'd moved to Bowring Road. So I was brought up there. So I didn't never lived all over the shop. I don't think they did either. I think it must have been always let out.
And so did your... So your youth was spent in Bowering Road?
Yes, Lindock, Bowering Road.
And I will show my Ramsay ignorance by not actually knowing where Bowering Road is.
Bowering Road, well, it's called the... its old name is called the Sandy Road, which is the road from the Bridge Inn and goes up towards the hospital, the main road. That's right. Bowering Road.
It's hill, as it were.
Yes, up the hill. Yeah, we lived halfway up the hill.
So you were very much North Ramsay?
Yes. I know, there was a divide in those days. It's very odd, North and South Ramsay. most of my early childhood was in Lindock, Bowering Road. But when I was 12, I think, we moved to Coburg Road. And that's the address on the of my mother on the death certificate of Kathleen.
7
Coburg Road, yes.
And when would that have been, when you were 12?
That would have been in 1965.
And so a lot of your youth was spent up and down Bowering Road and over the bridge to the grammar school and...
No, I didn't go to those schools. I went to a school that isn't open anymore. I went to the Dewar School, which is about a mile from Ramsay, which is a wonderful little school. But it closed in the 1960s.
Was that a junior school?
Yes. There's just two classes, infants and juniors.
Where was that?
It's just about a mile from Ramsay, on the way to Andreas, on the Andreas Road, past the Grest home, and just on the left as you're going towards Andreas. It's now converted into a house, but there was a little country school. I think I went there because my father's family were from Andreas. Well, no, I don't. That doesn't make sense at all. But I didn't go to the school in Ramsay for some reason. I went to the to this Dewar school and spent. Yes, I was there till I was 11.
Was it dying out then? Was it struggling?
Well, there were only two classes, infants and juniors, and yes, I think it closed a couple of years after I left. Which would be in 1960. I left in 1964, so I think it probably closed in about 1966 or so.
Did you often see Kathleen Fargo? What was your...
No, I don't really remember seeing her very much. I just remember hearing of her from my mother. But I do remember she came to my brother's wedding, which must have been in... the 1970s, I think. And I would see her from time to time, but I don't remember seeing her very often. I just remember hearing about her more from my mother.
So when you saw her, would it be at family gatherings? Or?
Yes, possibly, yes. Because she seemed to be... well, they must have been close, I suppose, because... they were in contact all the time, even though it was obviously some years since Josie had died. But I think my mother probably saw her quite regularly, but I'm not sure where.
She wasn't a WI lady, your mother?
No.
So did she ever visit your house?
Yes, I can remember coming to Sunnyland, I think. But that would be... we did it quite late on. But not... I don't remember her regularly because, well, in the 60s and I was away at boarding school at the Buchan. I used to board then in those days. and so, obviously, I didn't... you know, for each term I didn't see anybody at home because I wasn't there, and it you didn't come home in those days. You just stayed. So I'm sure my mother met her regularly, but or frequently, but No, I don't. I really have any memories.
So your mother and her must have gone quite well too.
I think so. Yes, I think so. And well, as is evidenced by these books, she obviously gave my mother. Kathleen gave her my mother her publications, saying to Isabel. No, I think they did. They did get on. They obviously kept in touch.
A lot of what I believe Kathleen Faggot read or performed a lot of her stuff at fundraising church events. Would that be some more way they your mother and her would have connected?
I'm not really very sure. No, I don't know that route. I don't know whether that's something that would have happened. I mean, it's quite likely, but I don't know.
And so you never saw Kathleen Faragut before?
No.
Did you ever go and visit her in her house?
No.
When she came to yours, I assume she came and had a cup of tea and sat in the front room.
Yes, I sort of believe so. She had, I remember her, was it a cousin, Maud Cubbon, have you heard that name at all? Maud Cubbon. I sort of, maybe I'm mistaken, I sort of remember Kathleen being friendly with Maud, unless I'm completely mixing her up with somebody else, and I thought she might have been a cousin, but the name doesn't sound familiar now. I sort of remember the two of them, really, but that might have just been at my brother's wedding. No, I haven't really got very many memories.
So, it's because it's in the early 70s, she would have been, I believe, that she's rather unwell. And if she was getting the bus in from Mackold, it'd be quite a walk.
Well, I don't remember. I don't remember her walking. I'm sure I picked her up or in the car or something. I don't remember her walking to our house. No, she must have. I think she would have been given a lift by either my mother or my father, I think.
Was she never married or had children?
No.
Was she pleased to see you children around? Do you remember?
Well, no, I don't think it was. I think she'd be seeing my mother as opposed to us. It wasn't. I don't think. No, I don't really remember anything like that. There wasn't a continuing relationship with myself. There was with my mother, but not with me, I don't think.
It wasn't as if she was the old lady who brought sweets or something.
No, no.
And so do you remember hearing of Kathleen's death?
Well, I would have been at university then. And so I heard of it from my mother. And my mother must have been asked by the executors of Kathleen's estate of Kathleen's will to help and assist in clearing Kathleen's house at Glenmona, because I do remember going there after Kathleen's death and assisting my mother in that task. I think everything had to be listed, all her effects had to be listed, and I think they were for sale, but I can't be sure, unless there are specific bequests in the will. I do know my mother purchased a bureau, which I've still got, actually, which I inherited from my mother, which was Kathleen's, and that must have been in the little cottage at Glenmona. But I think I just assisted her with the clearing. My mother wasn't alone in that. I think she had the assistance of, I think it was Mona Buckley, who was a cousin of my mother's.
Was she a Glenmona person?
Yeah, she was Glenmona. She lived at Ballajora. right on the tram lines. I think it was Mona. But she's died now. She died a while ago.
What was it like going out?
Well, it's a really pretty little cottage, which you probably know, but it was tiny, but there seemed to be lots in there. And as I say, I do remember her typewriter and her tape recorder, which now we've discovered we can't find. I remember those things, and I think also my mother purchased from the estate another bureau, I think, which I think my brother has got. But everything had to be cleared from the house, and the house was sold, and obviously the proceeds distributed to the beneficiaries. And I don't know, my mother wasn't a beneficiary, I don't think. She never no, she was just, I think, assisting in the assisting the executors.
And so you weren't there as the door was unlocked?
No. No, I was only there with my mother on a couple of occasions, really. It was my mother that organised it all.
And so I imagine clearing a house means a van parked out the back and boxes going into it?
No, I don't remember that, but I imagine there would have been. No, I just remember... Well, I think it was the listing of things that I remember, actually. There must be... The executors must have a list of her belongings, her furniture and everything, but... This, as I say, did happen when I was at university, and so I wasn't really here very, very much of the time.
Mm. I think you're probably the only person who will know what the inside of the house looked like when she went.
Oh, well, it had been, I think it had been cleared, some of it had been cleared by the time I got there. I mean, I imagine, not sure, but I imagine some of the things would have just gone to the mart. If they were for sale, in those days, Crystal's Mart, but it was. I'm sure the cottage won't have changed much, actually. Is it? Because you know, it's just a certain size, and I can't imagine it's changed much. I just remember the front room and a little room at the back. Well, kitchen, and that's all I remember, really.
Were there pictures on the wall?
No, not that I remember. There would have been, but no, not at that stage when I went in. I think most of it was done, actually.
Was the typewriter on a table somewhere, indicating where she would have written?
No, I'd love to say so, but I don't remember it as such. I remember the typewriter because I think my mother purchased that as well, because that's I was at university and there were no computers or anything like that in those days. And so I think she purchased that for me to use in my studies. And I did use it. And I used it for quite some time, but unfortunately I think, like everything else, that's gone by the wayside. But I have used it. And this duologue that I have must have been typed on that typewriter.
Just to ask about the house, I believe that today, off the kitchen at the back, there's a door which opens into the garden.
Yeah.
And at the front there is, they've levelled it for a very tight parking space for a car.
Oh, no, that wouldn't have been there, would it?
I imagine it as a gate and up some steep steps with a front garden.
I just remember the sitting room, really, mostly, and because you came in on and the door was on the right, isn't it? And then it's just that little room. And the kitchen out the back. I mean, that's all I remember. Not very many memories, I'm afraid.
And so you mentioned that the stuff in the house was sold.
Yes, but she had to list it. I know she had to list this everything that was there for the executors. And, well, I know she purchased the bureau. It's not an old bureau. It's, we can have a look at it. And the typewriter. And I'm assuming she purchased this famous tape recorder, which I now haven't got. But that was Kathleen's tape recorder with tapes in it. And I know my mother kept it for many years, but unfortunately, I don't know what's happened to it along the way. No, it's not in my loft.
Did you ever listen to the tape recorder?
I think I did, but I honestly can't remember. I like to think I did, but perhaps I didn't. I know I definitely used the typewriter. But
the tape recorder, do you know what was on the tape?
No, they were just a collection of tapes. The old tapes. It was in a cardboard box, but unfortunately, when my mother moved out of her house, when she went into care, her house had to be emptied, and I had thought some things had come here, and I've asked my brother if it's gone to his house, but I don't think so. I think it's got, well, it's got disposed of somewhere along the line, yeah, unfortunately.
And so what do you think would have been on the tapes?
Well, I imagine her... Well, I don't know. I imagined it was just Kathleen reading her or making sure they sounded okay in, as she wanted them to sound, I suppose. I don't know. It might have been at performers. It might have been even when... Because you said she went to the WI and things like that. It might have been...
Those
occasions, it might. Well, no, I'm just haven't any idea whatsoever.
No, I just didn't want to put words in your mouth.
No, that's right. I don't really don't know. No,
it's a tape recorder in those days. I imagine would not have been used for banal purposes like recording off the radio or something. Like that.
No,
would have been with a microphone.
Yeah. Oh yes, it was. It was just the reels. It was just a small box, and it's probably what the recorder was purchased in,
mm-hmm.
And a few reels in it. But the more I try and think about it now, I'm thinking, oh, I don't know what... I'm sure I haven't imagined it, but I wish I had some evidence of it. I just haven't... It's like, I can just think, wonder if I've imagined all this, but I'm sure I haven't.
And so what your mother got would have been through the public auction?
Yes, she had to purchase. I know, I remember her specifically saying, I don't know whether she had... No, not everything was a public auction. I think if somebody was to purchase it privately, it had to be established... Not by the executors, I suppose. But I imagine most of it went to the Mart, but I have no... Because there weren't any of Kathleen's relatives here, were there? I mean, there was nobody here, I don't think. No. So it would have to be realised in order to distribute the requests. I do remember that there was a list of things, and I sort of remember the values being put against those things.
And so were there any notebooks, books or papers?
Well, I'm sure there were, but I had thought, just from what I've read recently, that... they were collected and given to the person named in the will. Midwood, was it? Miss
Mary Midwood.
Because that was the books. I know my mother has booklets, but these were Kathleen's publications. But I think these were given to my mother by Kathleen. Yes, there's one to Isabel. With all kind thoughts from Kathleen Farragher. But the other thing which put me in contact with you is this duologue, which is a typewritten couple of pages entitled A Wedding to Remember. And this has just been with my mother's effects, together with the booklets of Kathleen's. And I don't really know how else, apart from it's come straight from Kathleen, signed by Kathleen. Yes, but as you've said, it is in another publication, or something very similar is in another publication.
It's, where was it?
It was just with these, with the public, with the,
Her booklets.
Yeah, Kathleen Farragher's booklets. And these are items that I've inherited from my mother when she died.
Oh, I see. So when it emerged, it would have come from
a Yes, I wouldn't have... Well, it would have just been booklets. I wouldn't have... It wouldn't have been anywhere other than with Kathleen's booklets together with it.
It looks very like... the sort of play which I believe was performed with the WI and other such places, where they would have Kathleen Farragher's friends up to perform on stage. Do you think it could have perhaps been
Well, mother? It might have been, because although my mother wasn't in the WI, she was in the Townswomen's Guild, and I imagine if Kathleen performed for the WI, she would also perform for the Townswomen's Guild, I should imagine. And so it could well have come from that, but it was just that it was with these items, these other items of Kathleen's, that that my mother has. I don't think it wasn't kept anywhere separate, but I think I only discovered it when I was looking at the booklets.
So, do you think your mother could have been performing in it?
No. I don't think so. No. I think she probably had too much of an Australian accent still or something.
I was going to say, that was actually my thought.
No, she wouldn't have done so. I don't know who would have performed. That's why I keep wondering whether... the person I referred to, Maud, whether she might have done.
So you never... You don't know anything of it from your mother's mouth?
No, it's just... It was just with my mother's effects.
Fascinating. Because, of course, the great thing about that very short play is that it's... is the only the fifth play of Kathleen Farragher's to be seen...
Mm.
The four others are published in one book of theatre.
But isn't it very similar, didn't you say, from an article?
A lot of the stuff did feed between the stories and the plays and the poems. She was doing a story and often poems every week in the newspaper.
Yes,
so there was
yes.
a lot of cross-germination. But the interesting thing about having read this one here, A Wedding to Remember, is that it builds on the poem.
Unfortunately, it doesn't have any date on it. But it must be quite late, I would have thought. What was the date of the poem? See, this must have been... this must have been in the 60s, I reckon, this one. I don't think it's an early one.
It was. The Story was named a really memorable wedding breakfast from the 17th of September 1971. That refers to a poem from A Curlew's Call, which was published in the late 50s.
Oh, I the only reason I think this one's later is because one of the references is soap packet roses and daffodils. And I can remember, I'm sure, well, I don't know whether I can or not, but plastic daffodils being given with washing powder. I don't know whether I'm making that up now. And that's, if I am right, then that would have been like the 60s. So what does that mean to you, that lashings are them soap packet roses and daffodils? Does that mean anything to you?
No, it doesn't.
No, well, no, I sort of remember, I'm sure I remember plastic daffodils being given with washing powder, Daz or something.
Considering that this is the first revealing of this play, how do you feel about the play itself?
Well, I always wanted it to be kept. I mean, it never occurred to me that it was just a piece of tatty paper, and I wanted to keep it. And before you were doing your project, I spoke to, Roy Kenyuk from Kermichael Players, to see whether he knew it or knew of it or whether it had been published, because although I did make inquiries or look on the internet, there was not very much that I could find out about Kathleen, and so I just hung on to this piece of paper, thinking, well, somebody will know about it eventually, and it was only when you advertised on the radio and paper that I saw you were doing the project on Kathleen, and so it's obvious that it should be kept with her work. Well, especially if it is, well, I believe it to be hers, and I don't, I can't see how you would say it wasn't. But and if it's hers, it should be kept with her work. And I've just got it now in safekeeping, basically.
And you spoke to Roy Kenyuk about it.
Yes.
Is he planning to do it?
Well, funnily enough, I think the Kermichael Players, they are hoping to perform this play, I believe, possibly next year. Yes, it said, when I showed it to Roy, thanks, Marion, premiere on the 5th of January 1916, hopefully. So it'd be wonderful, so you'd have to come and see it on the 5th of January. yes, I mean, I don't know, I'm sure it's the sort of venue that it would have been performed at, if it has been performed before. I mean, I don't know whether it's been performed or not, but it's the sort of venue in Kermichael where this would have been performed.
Besides that one play, or that one piece of paper.
Yes, yeah, one piece of paper.
You don't have any other papers?
No, I only have the publications of Kathleen's.
And so there hasn't been, within your knowledge or memory, papers?
No. No, I haven't, definitely haven't got any of those. The only thing I've come across since your last visit was Josie's birth certificate, which showed he lived in, he was born in Approach Road, Ramsey.
Which probably means that Kathleen was.
Yeah, I would imagine Kathleen would be. Because if he was born in 1902 in Approach Road and Kathleen was born in 1904, I'm sure she'd be born there as well.
I ask about the papers only because Mary Midwood, who was named in the will to receive some Manx books, Cregeen's Dictionary, yeah, and such Manx language style things, reported that the story of when your mother came with...
to deliver it, yeah.
She spoke about some books, and she also spoke about a load of old scraps of paper, rubbish, as she referred to it. And she mentioned that your mother had... She was under the impression that your mother had taken the first pick of the stuff.
I don't think so. Well, I can't imagine what my mother would... well, no, I can't imagine that at all. Apart from the bureaus, I know she purchased those. But I can't imagine, because there was nothing... well, I haven't got anything now, and anything that that my mother would have had would have been in her house. And as I say, that's been cleared many years now. But these are the only things I've got of Kathleen's. And if they'd all been together, you know, they would have been with these. But there's not. There's just this, the duologue and the poems and duologues published by Kathleen. No, I can't imagine what it would be. I can't imagine my mother keeping scraps of paper, or unless it was for a purpose. Unless it went to, unless there was a parcel that went to the beneficiaries, I don't know. Items might have gone there. No, unfortunately, I've got nothing else. I did think I had a tape recorder, but you can't find it. No.
And so those books which you've got, are they all presented to your mother?
No, I think, because I've got two of the same. I think I purchased one. My mother would have purchased them as well to support Kathleen, I'm quite sure.
And so that Green Hills by the Sea, Kathleen's first book there, that is with, presumably, it's annotated, that one, isn't it?
This one's the annotated, isn't it? Yes. And that's not my mother's writing, I don't think. No, that's... Well, it looks like Kathleen's writing. So this may well have been from Kathleen's.
And some of those poems are incredibly corrected.
Yes, they are, aren't they?
This was her first book. And a lot of those poems, I believe, had already changed quite a bit since they'd appeared in The Courier.
Ah.
Since 5 years earlier. And here they are being hacked to pieces again in places.
Well, this was dated 54.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah, oh, there we go again, yes. All good wishes from Kathleen Varriger. That's on By the Red Fuchsia Tree. These are later ones, aren't they?
Mm.
That's 67, yes. Yes, so so how this was with these, I'm not altogether sure.
Do you have an estimation of Kathleen Varriger's work?
I'd imagine that there aren't many poets, writers that have produced this, apart from the obvious ones, I suppose. But I don't know where she stands in literary circles within the island, but I think it's an important record of how things were.